Welcome to Help and Hope, a weekly podcast from CCEF. This week we will listen in on one of CCEF's distance education courses, which have trained hundreds of counselors from all across the country. You'll be hearing a portion of Ed Welch's class, Counseling Problems and Procedures, focusing on suffering.
Well, let's get started. Counseling those who suffer. I guess there really is not too much reason to argue for why we are talking about this particular problem, but let me give it a shot anyway. Counseling begins with the problem of suffering. By that I mean people have spoken about the distinctions between discipleship and counseling. I don't really know what the distinction is except the presenting question. In discipleship, will you help me to grow in Christ? In counseling, would you help me with something that hurts? Suffering is typically the entrance into whatever it is that we call counseling. Something hurts. That's why they're speaking about this particular problem. I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but again, to remind you, it is impossible to overestimate the extent and depth of suffering in the church. It's just impossible to do such thing. I can remember preaching at a church one time, and right before I was going to preach, I asked the pastor, "Is there anything I should know about your congregation?" And very quickly he said, "Think of my congregation as people who are sitting in a pool of their own tears." Okay, now, I hate to admit that my reaction was much worse than yours. My reaction was, I want to think of them as sinners who need hope in Christ. Okay, that's what I want to think of them as. And it probably wasn't until a few years later, where I was sitting in my church, and it was during a time of singing, and I was seeing individual faces in the church. And I was seeing probably 20, 30, 40 different faces, people I knew, okay? People I had the privilege of being involved in their lives. And I saw, indeed, normal-looking people that were sitting in a pool of their own tears. So, again, you know these things, but it is impossible to overestimate the extent of suffering in the church. One of the things that if you're in this kind of position, you should be thinking about is these first four problem areas, the suffering, the guilt, the anger, and the fear. These are the staples of modern life. And so in the course of pastoral ministry, in the course of thinking through how are we going to be discipling this particular church, you should have a plan for everybody in your church to be up to speed with each one of those problem areas. Everyone in your church should be an expert in what God says about the problem of suffering. Everyone. Maybe to extend that very briefly, when we first moved into this area, we invited our neighbors over to our house for meals. And my recollection is that we didn't do anything more than pray before our meal. I don't remember anything more overtly Christian than that. But my wife would acknowledge this. We felt that we were shunned by the people around us for a good couple years after that. You hang out in an area long enough, and the people around you start going through hard times. And what you do is, when you hear their hard times, you come over, you express your sympathy, and you ask if you can pray for them. And you find neighbors who shunned you at one time, but now when they're going through suffering, I've never had anybody say, "No, I don't want you to pray for me." Okay, I can't think of a time where I've had anybody say anything other than, "Well, thank you. Okay, thank you for praying for me." People who were avowed atheists the year before. So there is an evangelistic slant to your theology of suffering. This will be your most prominent entrance into those who are outside the body of Christ. So you understand, I'm trying to say this, even though we all know how to speak about this particular topic, it is extremely important for us. Letter C in your outline there. Even though the scripture speaks about suffering on every page, isn't it true that we still tend to be surprised when suffering knocks on our door? I don't know why that is. I don't have a clue why it is. By the time we get to the New Testament, we are anticipating that the sufferings in our lives are going to be more intense than the community around us, okay? The suffering of those in the church is always going to exceed the community. We're still surprised by it. I don't know. I think one reason is that we continue to be a pre-tribulational Christian culture. Okay? Now, I'm not speaking against theologies of the end times. I'm speaking against how I can use theology of the end time. Okay? As I was growing up in a church that had prophecy conferences every year and spoke about how the Lord was going to come for his people before the tribulation, I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. I'm dating myself, but I was envisioning the Russian army coming down the street and ready to kill all the Christians, and me just sort of smiling because I knew that, make it more personal. A good father is never going to allow his children to go through that kind of suffering. Okay? A good father is going to come at the 11th hour and whisk them away to paradise. Now, again, I'm not speaking against pre-tribulational theology. I'm just saying this is the way I used it. Okay? So there is no way that I was prepared. The first time suffering knocked on my door, I went atheistic. Okay? Is there a God? I mean, how can, my entire theology collapsed. Okay? I go to secular counseling conferences occasionally. And occasionally I present papers at these conferences. And when I present a paper, it tends to go something like this. I will present a paper on biblical counseling. Okay. And so I'm presenting this paper, and I find the people who are attending, they just don't seem to be upset at all. I'm thinking they should be upset by now. Okay. So there are times where I really feel like I'm a charismatic preacher at these things, just trying to get people aroused. Look, you should be upset by these things. I'm saying what you're doing is wrong. And I have people come up afterwards, and they say, thanks very much. And then, they'll say, I really appreciate how you really believe what you're talking about. I don't know if it's the best or worst of pluralism, but it's pluralism, whatever it is. However, there is inevitably one person every time I've presented biblical counseling material to a secular audience who is ready to stone me. And if I have opportunities to speak to that person, inevitably that person was a person who grew up in an evangelical church. They went through suffering, and their own experience was that the church didn't know how to deal with their suffering except in a hugely clumsy way, and their theology was not prepared to deal with their suffering. So, anyway, you understand what I'm trying to say, that there are probably many reasons for this. The fact that we're Americans who haven't had wars on our soil in our lifetime being one of some of the many, we can still be surprised by suffering when it comes to us. How essential it is for the body of Christ to just be expert in gleaning from Scripture how the Lord speaks persuasively, meaningfully, lovingly, compassionately to those who go through the harshest of sufferings. A few other things. I say there are two extremes in the way we deal with suffering, the number of people who are on those two extremes vary. On one hand, there's a bit of a stoic acceptance of suffering. And frankly, that group is dwindling. Where you are right now, actually, the history of biblical counseling tends to lean much more toward the Stoic acceptance of suffering. You can go back into the 1980s and find articles that essentially say life is war. Okay, life is war, and yeah, there's suffering in war. But you get a flesh wound in war, and you put your arm around it, and you go out and you keep fighting. There's the emphasis with the theology of suffering tended to be more of a doctrine of Stoic acceptance. This is the era that we're in, and God gives grace for you in the midst of suffering, and suck it up. I mean, that our own tradition, the tradition of this particular class, that's some of the history of it. The broader Christian culture, could we say that the opposite version tends to predominate in the broader Christian counseling culture? That is, that suffering is the critical problem of all of life. Now, there are two ways to think about that particular comment. Suffering is the critical problem. If a person is suffering, when I am ministering to someone who's suffering, and there are all kinds of other things going on in their lives, the suffering is a thing that attracts my attention first. Okay, more often than not, there can be exceptions to that. But when you are listening to somebody and there are all kinds of things that are happening, chances are the hurt is going to be the place where you go first. So in that sense, in the way you prioritize your ministry to another person, suffering will be prioritized. However, there's another way of talking about suffering as being the critical problem of life, where there's this anthropological bent to it, okay? Where let me think of an illustration. You have a sin problem and you have a suffering problem. Okay, the suffering problem is the deepest problem. Okay, from an anthropological perspective, that is really your deepest problem. Okay, that seems to be, if you read through some of the popular Christian counseling books, there is a sense that your suffering problem is even deeper than your sin problem. Okay. Now, do you notice some of the dilemmas there? One very practical dilemma is a person who adopts that particular view of themselves, my suffering problem is the most significant problem in my life, they will be angry. Okay? They will be angry because it does not seem as though the Lord does a great job with our suffering, except to accentuate it. Okay? That doesn't mean there's not comfort in the midst of suffering, but what I think C.S. Lewis says, if you want the easy life, just sit back and have some sherry in the evenings. Don't become a Christian. Okay? This is not the way to the easy life. If you believe that your suffering problem is the most critical dilemma of your life, you will eventually be angry because God does not do well with your suffering problem. Okay? He does not alleviate it in the way that you would like it to be alleviated. Not only in the Christian counseling literature, but in the culture at large. If there are two extremes, Stoic acceptance on one hand and suffering is a critical problem of life on the other hand, there aren't a whole lot of New Englanders out there anymore. Okay, you know what I'm saying? New Englanders who just have that stiff upper lip and they go through all kinds of problems and they don't even bother talking about it. That's the exception. The rule is, as a culture, we've bought the Constitution. We do have this right to happiness. And I would suggest that the psychotropic drugs that are massively overprescribed, okay? And if any physician will tell you that, okay? Massively overprescribed, come in part because people are saying, I am not happy, okay? I have a suffering problem and it has to be alleviated, okay? It's been curious to me that there hasn't been more voices that speak about how suffering, this thing called character, okay? You know, there's this thing called character or maturity or something that seems, you know, to be forged through this furnace of suffering. Okay? That's what secular people will say. It's just a common observation that suffering does seem to make impressive people. Okay? As you instead of running from it, you look it right in the eye and go through it.
We hope you enjoyed getting a taste of CCEF's distance education classes. These classes are offered both on-site here in Philadelphia and online right where you live. Whether on-site or online, you get the same great material taught by the same dedicated teachers. To find out more, go to ccef.org and click on training. Thank you for listening today. Please come back next week for more help and hope.